jazz introduction.
Love Talk Radio.
Hello, happy October 30th, pre-Halloween. This is Spoken Heard, the forum for spoken up word artists in the North American part of the planet. And I am your fill-in host, Rick McIntyre. And joining me today is our guest, Alyssa St. Frank. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good, good. Say hi to all the people in Radioland.
Hi, everybody in Radio Land. It's great to be here, or there, or wherever you
are. Nice. Well, before we get into the interview, why don't we start off, if you would read us the poem.
Sure. I canceled therapy sessions on April Fool's Day. Ever heard the one about mental illness? A girl walks into therapy and, insert punchline here, but what if you're the punchline, the roar of laughter and applause drowning out to your own wails and screams? Ever heard about drowning? Silly girl, don't drown. Just drink all of the water. Drink so much that you're drowning in yourself again. Knock, knock. Who's there? A sea of bodies, their eyes boring holes into your forehead, your shoulders, your bones, making you regret ever opening the door. Knock, knock, I'm not here. I'm too afraid to answer. Please go away. It's been a running joke in the family that no one has let me in on until now. They decided that children shouldn't be in the room when they talk about it, that I'll understand when I'm older. This dirty joke has been passed down for generations, and now it is my turn to tell it. This illness heirloom, precious metal, handcrafted and worn by my ancestors. I have been destined to wear this jewelry, and the funny part is I'm not supposed to get it dirty or clean. Well, I'm all grown up, and I know what's wrong with me, but I am searching for something in this illness. I am trying to decipher this joke. Jokes aren't funny when you have to explain them. This laugh hurt. I chuckled, choke, and I'm understanding that undoing the braid of a joke makes it just tear, limp and falling beside your. In this situation, in this life, in this body, I'm the comedian and the audience, watching myself trip over the words in my own feet. I look at myself in the mirror and laugh. Hearing two sets of laughter is menacing and terrifying, and I am realizing that this joke is mine, that I can manipulate it in any way that I choose, that the punchline is even more delicious when I'm the only one in the room who gets it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. I especially like that title title of the first line about canceling therapy on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about where you're at, what you're doing.
So I'm in my second year of college at the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts in North Adams, Mass. I'm studying to become a school social worker, which I'm very excited about. I'm the secretary of Sociology Society here on campus, and I work at the Women's Center on campus during the week. So a lot of things going on.
Yeah. What are you studying?
I'm taking mostly sociology courses right now just to, like, fulfill those requirements, and I really love sociology.
So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So when you graduate, you will fix our society, is what I'm understanding.
One school at a time.
All right. Good to know somebody's working on that. So now you came out of the Providence Youth Slam scene.
Yes.
Want to talk a little bit about that and some of your experience?
Sure.
There?
Yeah. So Prov Slam Youth is the youth part of Providence Poetry Slam. Every night we have a youth poetry night every month we have a youth poetry night at 8:20, and we also have free writing workshops at different locations, and we have mentoring for like youth writers age 13 to 19. And at the first Thursday of every month, we have a writing workshop at 5:30 p.m. at New Urban Arts, which is right across the street from Classical High School, if you're familiar with the Providence area. And right before the show at 8:20 on that first Thursday. And then every third Thursday of the month is the Youth Poetry Slam night at 8:20, where it's like a regular poetry slam, but it's reserved for people 19 and under. And we have the youth workshop at 6, and then the youth poetry slam right after at 8:20 at 8. And then, you know, we have the youth slam every third Thursday of every month until February, which is like the grand slam, which is like the final competition. And then the five out of the top five of those poets make it onto the Prov Slam Youth team, and they have a chance to represent Providence at Brave New Places, which is the national youth poetry slam team. And it's just like a great program, and it's a great way to write with a bunch of people. And being me is so awesome. It's so great. I was on the team last year, and it was just an amazing experience. So good.
Awesome. So of those of you out there listening in the Providence or Southeast New England area, that is certainly something you should go check out on the first and third Thursdays of every month, Providence Poetry Slam. I am a fan myself. So you were mentioning you went to Brave New Voices last year.
Yes. It was the summer. It was very good.
Sweet. Who was on the team with you?
So we were a 6-person team, and it was myself, Gabby Hummel, Naomi Gutierrez, Victoria Rose, Sin 7, and Madeline Lessing. And we were able to go with our coaches, Charlotte, Chrysanthemum Chan, and Sheena. And it was such an amazing experience. Like, we were able to, like, be exposed to all these different teams from, like, all over the U.S., and they had teams from, like, Canada, the U.K., Trinidad, like, we just met so many different people. It was a really great time.
Sweet, 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 sweet. So let's talk a little bit about writing. Do you have a kind of a process or an approach that you use when developing a poem?
That's kind of a hard question, but I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. I really try not to sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to write a poem, because, like for me personally, I think that's too strict for, like, who I am as a person when it comes to poetry. And I feel like if the inspiration or the line just comes to me, like, I have to write them down. And if I don't write them down, I feel like it'll leave my brain, and that's not always a good thing. So I kind of just write as inspiration comes to me. I don't know. And then when it came to writing for BMZ, it was kind of hard because I wasn't used to writing so consistently and, you know, constantly editing my work and editing other people's work as well. Was a new experience for me. But yeah, I feel like I kind of have to just get in that mindset of like, well, I can write right now and kind of be casual about it, because it's just too fun to like put any unnecessary stress on or like necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's hard for any writer to say, okay, I'm going to write about this and then sit down and, you know, start at that, unless you're, you know, being specifically commissioned to write on, you know, a subject or or an event. Once you get the idea, personally speaking, I find it fascinating that each poem really kind of has its own genesis and development.
Yeah.
You know, there's some where I sit down and go to write and then just follow wherever the poem takes me.
Yeah.
You know, do you ever have it where like the end of a poem comes to you and then you need to write like a poem that has that at its destination?
Oh, I really don't know. It's so complicated because like I have to get the words on the page first and then so I can call it a poem, whatever that means, and then I kind of just leave it alone for a while, and then if I like want to work on it, I kind of just go back to it and see what I can do, or kind of I also send my work to like various people, and I love when people send their poems to me, like, can you look at this, or like, does this sound right?
Right.
Or, like, I love getting that, because that means that they're validating my, not criticism, but my kind of what I see about their piece, or like the wording, or whatever the case may be. And
sure.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
I found that the open mics have become, you know, by extension, part of my editing process.
Mm.
You know, you write a poem and it sounds great in your head, and then you get up on stage and
right.
You know, you find that some lines do not communicate the way to other people the way they do to you.
Exactly.
Or that, you know, in the case of like, you know, trying to write a funny poem, you'll find, you know, I find that, okay, certain sections are just way too long between the funny.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Or like, you get on stage and you're like, this is so funny to me, but like, not everyone else has the same sense of humor or something like that.
Right. Have you ever had the experience where, you know, you're writing what you think are funny parts, but the laughs are coming at different parts of the poem?
Yes, that's true too.
I love the audience. I mean, I really should credit them as collaborators on most of the work. I personally do. And I suspect that's not uncommon among, you know, performance-oriented poetry.
Exactly.
So we're about halfway through the show, and I was hoping we could get you to read another poem.
Sure. This is called Alternate Names for Black Girls. One, insert dessert name for skin here. Two, mysterious hair goddesses. Three, the back wall of a hip-hop video. Four, the temptresses of your own design. Five, the entire land ruled by drama queens. Six, your low-key fantasy. Seven, your direct blame. Eight, the subset of a stereotype. Nine, the loud and proud. 10, the celestial body walking through your neighborhoods. 11, the only magic act you can see again and again and still not know how it works. 12, not the Medea or the Precious, but somehow still the Medea and the Precious. 13, trees banding together for the sake of their own leaves and to sustain the forest.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, there is so much. There is so much to talk about in that poem. How about let's start off with like where that poem came from. What was the genesis?
Well, a while ago, I want to say, I don't even remember when it was, but Danez Smith came to Profland. And at the time, I had no idea who he was or any of his work or anything. And he did this workshop, and I don't know, like he showed us this poem of his called Alternate Names for Black Boys. And, like, it was so moving, and, like, it was a very good poem. And the workshop, like, we didn't do that poem for the workshop, but I just remember that. And then fast forward to last summer, where I was in the frequency program with Franny Choi. Shout out to Franny Choi. We had a prompt where I forget what the prompt was, but I wanted to do a poem after Danetta Smith, Alternate Names for Black Boys. So, you know, that's kind of where this poem comes from, and it's kind of the same, similar messages and images, but, like, more specific to the struggles of, like, a black girl and, like, what that means and, like, you know, these stereotypes that we get from media and all of these things. So that's where the poem comes from.
Nice. Yeah, Danez, actually, and Franny have both been guests on the show in earlier times. Danez, I believe, on multiple occasions, he's one of our favorite guests. So is that one of the poems that you took then to Brave New Voices, or is that...
No, so the first poem that I read, which is called Mental Illness, I took that one to Brave New Voices, and I worked really hard on it, and... yeah, it's probably one of my personal favorites of my own poems. And I wrote another poem. I took two individual poems and one group piece to Business Voices. And, I felt really good about them. I still feel really good about them. Just getting up there and performing and, like, seeing the reactions of people who have never seen your work before or, like, heard your work before was thrilling. It was very thrilling to have everything be recorded and, like photographed. It was just, like, so, I don't know, it was great.
Now, I wanted to ask, and because there was some talk of controversy at last year's Brave New Voices, were you aware of any controversy? Do you have an opinion on it?
I mean, it was really great for the most part, but there were definitely some things that could have been changed. And recently, I think all of the participants from Brave New Voices that went last year got an email about, you know, filling out a survey about this year's past Brave New Voices to make this year's a lot better. So I feel like all, not complaints, but like criticisms and critiques of what happened, this past Brave New Voices will be transformed and changed into, you know, better things for the new Brave New Voices that's coming up this year.
Gotcha. I'll tell you, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I very well could be. What seemed to be communicated outside of BNV was that there was a feeling that kids were being encouraged to kind of dig up their trauma for poems.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right, and then there was the feeling that there was not enough, you know, of a safety net waiting for them once they got off stage.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of that, especially at final stage. There was like a couple of poems that, you know, the poets on stage were like crying while they were performing, and it was, you know, the trauma was out there for everyone to see, and it was painful because, you know, they're doing this for scores, and like I don't think it's the fault of the poet. I really think that it's up to the coaches and you know, these other mentors in their communities that are like, do you, you know, really want to do this for scores? Or like, do you really want to? I mean, poetry is important when it comes to trauma and like other painful things that happen in people's lives, but I feel like putting a score to a poem about something like that personal or that triggering or something is like not right, but you know, that's how the poetry world operates. So.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly operates that way, you know, in the adult nationals level.
Mm.
Although there, you know, people, I think, have a better idea that there is me and my poem about the event, and then there is, you know, the subject of the event. And,
right.
You know, being a little bit, you know, well, older and ostensibly a little more mature, not in the case of every poet, of course. But just, you know, they've had a lot of more time to process things than I don't want to say children in a dismissive way, but certainly, you know, there's just that advantage that the adults have in, you know, coming down from their own poem once they get off stage.
Mm.
One thing I've heard about DMV, much like Whelps, is that kind of the quality and the focus of the poetry stays there at finals. You know, I don't want to crap talk anybody, but, you know, my experience going to a number of nationals is that the great work is in everything up to the semifinals.
Mm.
And then finals, you're going to get a lot of loud, fast, huge topics, and honestly, a little less poetry than performance.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That was also true for final stage at DMV. Yeah, there was a lot more space and a lot more room for, like, kind of, yeah, like what you said, like performance versus poetry. And it is captivating to see, and like the judges and like the audience was like eating it up. And it did add to their poems. And I really, I don't know, like looking back on it, it's like, was that all necessary to do that? But like, it worked. Like, everyone was really excited about the poem, you know, and like, mm-hmm. It does add to it, but like you said, like, we don't get the poem part as much as, like, in semifinals and, like, in the bouts.
Yeah, and that's not to say that that's, you know, a hard and fast 100% rule, or that, you know, the teams and individuals that win these events are somehow bringing, you know, lesser material. It's just an observation I made over the years. So just hope to avoid those angry emails and instant messages later.
You didn't look up all my one the slam with?
I just want to go on record as I love every poem ever by anyone. So,
yes.
There we go. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about? Prov Slam scene, what you're doing up at your school?
I don't know. I just want to do, I want more poetry to be available here. We don't really have that big of a poetry, like a concrete poetry scene. We have open mic nights across the street at like a local cafe, but I want more poetry on this campus. There was a slam poetry club, but it's been inactive, and I want either this year or next year to kind of, not exactly like a cup C team, because I don't think we'd be able to, like, you know, do that, but like some sort of like poetry club or something. Like, we have other like literary clubs here on campus, but I want something that's just purely poetry, student work. I don't know. Or my friend and I were thinking of getting
you know, high school students and middle school students to come here and write poems or share poems. So we're trying to do something like that here so that, you know, more people can write poems and have their work be displayed if they so choose. Yeah, because I know Vermont has, like, a BNV team. I think they have a Cup 2 team. I'm not sure, but, and Brandy was up in Vermont. So, like, I don't know. And that's not too far away from here. And Boston's not that far away from here. And there's a lot going on in Boston and the poetry world. It's just,
oh, yes.
It's just here. We need more poetry here. And I want to bring that here.
Well, I think that's admirable. I'll tell you, as one of the, you know, older poets on the scene, when I was your age, there was almost no presence of poetry on college campuses, let alone on the high school level.
Right.
The
idea
that, you know, you can major in performance poetry at a lot of SOA days.
Yeah, that's
and even, you know, they even have classes in slam and performance poetry at the high school level now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure when you make it to my age, you'll see, you know, great changes that happened over your life. But personally speaking, it's one of the ones I enjoyed seeing the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just poetry everywhere compared to when
younger
in my
too.
Early 20s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's really great. So we're getting towards the end of the show, and I was hoping you could read us out with a poem.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you. 2/3 of people on Earth always hum in the key of F. Even a small amount will make it go bonkers and sting itself to death. Some can see more than everyone else. They are born with more. From birth, men are 6 times more likely to be than women. Your belly button, the size of a rainforest. The human body, the more vacant house on the planet, humans shed their lifetime and replace it entirely. You're in outer space, calls a blessing. A group of stars, murmur, murder, a group of orchids. All of space is completely silent. Currently, elephants will own trunks for comfort, sleep holding hands. Art is not named.
Just lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely. So, again, for people listening in, our guest today has been Providence poetry scene veteran Alyssa St. Frank, mm-hmm. soon to be the poetry maven of North Adams, Mass., I understand.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to rule everything up there. That's good. Let's be hopeful. Well, thank you for listening in today. Our guest next week is Vanessa Adari. And in the meantime, just be good to each other, love life, write a poem, and we'll see you all next week. Take care, Alyssa.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Bye.